Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. Luke chapter 11, verse 20, these words of Jesus. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. They are very devoted to their religion, amazingly persistent. They believe that the kingdom of God is coming soon, and they want to tell you all about it. They call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, and the kingdom they preach is a kingdom in which Jehovah will rule this world in righteousness and truth, bringing about peace. Many people teach that the kingdom of God is about to arrive, but it hasn't arrived yet. And that's not just the opinion of various unpopular sects. It's also the opinion of many mainstream conservative Protestants. They preach a future thousand-year reign of Christ on earth. And those who believe in this future kingdom of Christ on this earth are called millennialists. And if you were to say to a millennialist that the kingdom of God is here right now, he might look at you as if you're blind. Can't you see what's going on in the world? Look at all of the injustice, the violence, the senseless slaughters, and the endless wars. Surely the kingdom of God is a promise that has not yet been fulfilled. We wait for it. But here we must disagree with this opinion. Jesus makes it crystal clear that the kingdom of God has already come. He says, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus said it, and that settles it. Faith doesn't demand sight. Thomas believed in Jesus, specifically that he rose from the dead, only after he saw Jesus display his wounds before his eyes. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Faith believes the words of Jesus without seeing any evidence that the words are true. So when Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God has come upon us, we believe his words without demanding physical proof. Now that doesn't mean that there is no evidence. If you look at the words of Christ in the context where they occur in St. Luke's Gospel, you see that there is a man who is mute, who cannot speak. This isn't a natural impediment, but a supernatural affliction because a demon had possessed the man and prevented him from being able to talk. He was a demon from hell, a follower of Lucifer, an enemy of God and God's people. A spiritual bully had taken a hold of this man. It was pure demonic cruelty, because the devil and his angels are mean, loveless bullies. Beelzebub is the name given to the devil. It means literally Lord of the Flies. Originally, it had been the name of a Phoenician god, and it then became a popular name for the devil. Well, Jesus faced the angels of Beelzebub, that is, the demons from hell. He drove out of them the poor, they drove them out of the poor souls whom they were tormenting, and at no time in recorded history will you see so many cases of demon possession as there were when Jesus came into this world. It's as if after Jesus drove away Satan by the power of the word in the desert, all the demons of hell were enraged and came out to challenge Jesus. Those who look for a future kingdom of God on earth, where Jesus will return and rule over the world with Jerusalem as his capital city, and then you're going to have some kind of a battle of Armageddon and all of this exciting stuff. Consider that the cosmic and decisive battle between good and evil has not yet been fought, but that it's been going to be fought in the future, and that's how they look at the future. But the fact is, this cosmic battle has already been fought, and good already triumphed over evil. Jesus came into this world, and he cast out the devil's power. And this is true, and people don't see it, and that's why they don't believe it. Saint Augustine said that we do not see in order to believe, but we believe in order to see. But there were those there who did see and recorded the events of Jesus' ministry. They witnessed the battle. The mute spoke. The demon that held his tongue was forced out of the man by Jesus Christ. Now they said, the Pharisees said, it was by the devil's authority, which of course was nonsense. There is no rebellion in Satan's kingdom. Rather, another kingdom had confronted Satan's kingdom. And Jesus is the king. And the kingdom over which he rules is the holy Christian church on earth. Jesus cast out devils by the finger of God, that is, by the Spirit of God. He sends the Holy Spirit who comforts the church. As the devil torments souls with lies, the Holy Ghost comforts souls with the truth. It is the Holy Spirit who calls Christ's church to do battle against the father of lies. And this is why we call the church on earth the church militant. She is the kingdom of God. And Christ's enemy is her enemy. Christ's victory is her victory. It is real. We don't need to look to a future mythical kingdom, whether that of the Jehovah's Witnesses or that of the millennialistic Protestants who claim that there is going to be a kingdom here on this earth that is visible to the senses. No, we look instead to the kingdom that Christ came to establish and which he established. He came and he fought and he won. Look at the battle. He faced the devil in the wilderness. He faced the devil in driving out demons. He faced the devil when he was suffering in the garden. He faced the devil when he was suffering on the cross. He faced the devil as our champion, fighting our battles, winning our war. He never failed in any confrontation with the devil. He came to overthrow the devil's kingdom and to bind him on a chain so that he can no longer destroy those whom God loves, and he did. Yes, he did. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever and ever, and the kingdom of the devil has been overthrown, and the deceiver of the nations has been bound. Now, you can't see this kingdom. You don't see demons driven out of men. You cannot apprehend with your senses Christ's victory over evil. Does this mean that the kingdom Christ established in his first coming has disappeared until his second coming? No, this kingdom is here. It has come upon us. This kingdom is wherever the word of God is preached purely, wherever the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution. Jesus gave to his church the keys of the kingdom, and wherever the Holy Ghost calls sinners to faith in Christ, they receive the righteousness of Christ. They receive the forgiveness of sins. They receive the authority to rebuke the devil and his lies. They receive Christ's victory over evil. They receive a new nature. They're filled with the love of God. Their consciences are set at peace. They rest secure in God's love, and this is the kingdom of God here on earth. The gospel and the sacraments have the very authority of Jesus, who proved his authority over all the powers of hell. And wherever the gospel is proclaimed, it causes division. Well, Jesus said it would. Those who love it take it in and treasure it. Those who hate it are angered when they hear it. Jesus says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." There is no spiritual neutrality. He describes the terrible condition of the person whom he delivers from Satan's power when that person treats Christ as if he's nothing and whose house is swept clean of any Christian convictions, nowhere for the Holy Spirit to be at home. What happens is that the demon comes back with seven demons worse than he is and makes the man's life miserable. The point is that there is no possible neutrality in the war between Jesus Christ, the King of God's kingdom, and Beelzebub, the prince of this world. There is no Switzerland protected from the world by the Alps so that no army can do battle against her, but rather the battleground between God and the devil, between Jesus and Beelzebub, is in and upon the minds of all mankind. You cannot avoid this war. You're in it. You can stand up and fight or give up and die because there are no conscientious objectors. Where is the kingdom of God today? Let Jesus answer. After he healed this man, drove out the demon, a woman from the crowd cried out to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." And Jesus answered, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Nothing brings greater blessing than to hear the word of God and to keep it, to guard it, to treasure it, to hold on to it for dear life and never to let it go. This word reveals to us the wonderful mysteries of our eternal salvation revealed in Jesus Christ. To keep it is to trust in its promises and receive everlasting life. To keep it is to obey its commandments. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." To keep God's word is to trust in Jesus and to live in his love. The word of God puts the devil to flight so that he can't touch us, he can't hurt us, or deceive us anymore. It is as Jesus is nailed to the cross that he is officially identified as King. There, as he suffers for our sins, he silences forever the demonic lies that would lead us to trust in ourselves, our strivings, our struggles, our good deeds, our pious thoughts, or any other idol of self we might be tempted to invent. In Christ's suffering for us, his kingdom was firmly and finally established. And now when the crucified and risen Lord Jesus comes to us in his blessed gospel and holy sacraments, the kingdom of God comes to us. So there's no need to dream about a future kingdom of God ruling over this world. The kingdom has already arrived. As we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." Where? The kingdom of God is in the faith that the Holy Ghost gives us. The kingdom of God is in Christ, to whom the Holy Spirit points us. The kingdom of God is when the image of Jesus crucified for us is imprinted on our hearts. It's when the gospel of the forgiveness of all our sins that Jesus won for us is given to us, and we believe it and take it in and find Christ our gracious King. It's when we live the lives that God has called us to live, avoiding the filthiness and immorality of those who live in darkness. Christ's kingdom was hidden in suffering when Jesus was nailed to the cross, and it's hidden under suffering today. But it is no less real for that. It is where God finds us and for Christ's sake justifies us and pronounces us free from Satan's power. There is the finger of God. There is the Spirit of God casting out the devil and setting us free. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us. I'd like to tell you about our new schedule for the services for First Confessional Lutheran Parish. We have divine service Sunday morning at 8 o'clock at First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, at 9:30 at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, and at 11:30 at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville. Please tune in next Sunday, same time, same station, for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.